I thought I was pretty much 100% back until this morning. Brother came up to me and said, good morning, and I responded, good evening. So I'm not sure if I'm still partly there or here. So, but praise the Lord, we made it back. It was a challenge getting back, but that's okay. We should be ready for those times when we're doing the work of the Lord. So this evening, the group is going to share here tonight. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it. I left it up to them. Doesn't make me any difference. As long as the Lord will be glorified, and I'm sure He will be. So with that, I think you can put the pictures up here if you want. I'm going to show a few pictures and some of the I would like to just give you a glimpse of, again, what we experienced over there. And I may want to start a little bit clear at the beginning of when this journey started. In 2014 was my first visit there in that island. And I spent 3 months there. When I left there, I had a vision for that island, and I had a burden for that island. And someday I thought I'd visit enough, and maybe when I get finished visiting, it would somehow just disappear. Well, it didn't disappear. So again, on this this journey, that burden became stronger. And I'm not surprised. And it's a pretty good-looking group there, isn't it? The place where that picture was taken is a very beautiful place, and it is for sale, but that's beyond our expectations there. So anyways, okay. I want to... There's a new era there in that island that, or a new opportunity, I should call it, more than what I just did. And that is schools. We were introduced to these schools last year. And this year again. And the openness and these students and teachers and all the surroundings was just phenomenal. These students, everything is deathly quiet. And I know that we are Americans and we look different and we act different and we are different. So that brings a little bit of why they get quiet. They're hearing something that they never heard before. So anyways, backing up just a little bit, I believe that everything that we're experiencing there began in 2014 in the prison. The gates were open there, the doors were wide open, we got into that prison, and there's brothers that got converted in there. And now they are out on the island, and I'm blessed by some of the things that I'm seeing. So the seed was sown, and God brought the increase there. Sometimes we think that we are just spinning our wheels, but that's not true. The Bible says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all nations. We got to do our part, and then God will do His. And then the beautiful things He says in the end of that scripture, He says, and I'll go with you all the way. And we sensed that. I believe our young people that was with us this year, they sensed that God was with us in that journey. So anyways, the school is very open. This picture here, I'm not sure how many students was in that, but I'm guessing 350 students that heard the gospel that day. And it's not in vain. They come up afterward and they want to get together and they want to talk and they want to ask questions. And then the teachers are amazed at... And then the authorities, we had a policeman with us. And I think I have a picture of him. I'm not sure, but we'll just see if you do. So anyways, the schools have been a great blessing. I don't want to take any time away from the young people. They have probably lots in their heart that they want to share. This school had over 500 students. And that day we gave out 500 Bibles. By the way, the Bibles that were purchased by the church here, sadly to say, they didn't all arrive. And we run out on the third school. So hopefully Emar can get those Bibles into the schools that we visited and didn't have enough to go around. But anyways, at this school right here, they were everywhere. They were in the back. They were around the corner. They were way over here around the corner. They were sitting everywhere. And of course, their first speaker is talking about drugs and so forth. And I know that's how we got in there, but I believe God's going to do a work there that I believe this is going to be an ongoing mission. That's how I believe. So anyways, they on this particular school, they left us preach last or speak last. And I got the opportunity to preach here at this school, and I didn't know, I knew what was on my heart to preach here. I didn't know if I was going to get drug out or whatever, but I preached on homosexuality. And everybody listened, and I never got drug out. Because we had a gay person actually do a speech in one of the schools, and it motivated me to preach that. And I made one thing clear to them, that you were born as male and female, and that will never change. And they accepted that, and I was blessed by it. And this school, each one of them students got a Bible, except for maybe 30 of them, I'm not sure. So anyway, that's some of our traveling from one island to the next. This journey here wasn't quite as bad as the last one, but it was a little bumpy, but not bad. But that's one way to travel. And that's another way. Them two poor ladies in that cart, it wasn't the pleasantest ride in the world. But that's how we got to and fro in them islands over the waters. Is by them carts. And I was thankful for the carts. A little bit difficult to get in and out of, but we were blessed by the carts. So that's one way we traveled. And that was another way we traveled. And that bus, that's the church's vehicle over there. And it served its purpose in this occasion right here. And it's doing well for Emar. We did not use that vehicle to get around. We actually, either James or I, twisted a knuckle off on the drive shaft. It was either him or me. I'm not sure which one it was. So anyways, we had to get another van to get around with while it was getting fixed, and then we just kept the van. I got to keep moving here. Prison. We're in the prison again, I think, at a level that we was back in 2019. 2020 almost took that thing for a toll that I thought we'd never get back in there the way we were. But I believe on this journey, this trip, we're back in the prison almost like we were back in 2019. The main warden came up to me. He says, the doors are open. Whenever you want to come in, you just call us. And that's the way it was. I'm not sure how many times we went in there. But I believe this is where it started. When we was able to get in that prison and start preaching and singing. And we're back in there again now. Praise the Lord. God is able. Last year we were there, they held us off. And they said, nah, we don't think you're able to get in there. And then, of course, they left us in a little bit. And again, now this year, we're back in base one, I believe, in this prison, preaching and singing. And they bring them all out on the basketball court. Again, that's a picture of them, picture of the staff, the group there at the prison. And that's them singing. I know that you know it, but I'm going to tell you again, there's power in singing. There's testimony I could share about this prison, about singing, but I'm not going to tonight. But there is power in singing. And a little bit of that, one of the brothers might be sharing a little bit on that tonight. All 100 prisoners are out underneath this tent, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we believe the Bible, there's going to fruit come out of that. If we believe the Bible, because as the Bible says, my word will not come back void. And we have testimonies of men that went through this prison and today are out free, walking free, and converted. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you can read that. On the bottom of their shirts, it says, persons deprived of liberty. And that caught my attention there, and I shared a little bit on that to these prisoners. One, not this time, but another time. Persons deprived from liberty. I shared with them that they can have liberty inside there. In Christ. Again, that's just another picture that we're waiting for them to come out from the prisons. And here's a very special time. We're back in the schools, going from classroom to classroom, speaking to students that never heard the gospel. They heard something, but it wasn't the gospel. They're hearing the gospel. We went into 14 classrooms that day. And I'm going to let some of this for the young people to share. Unbelievable opportunity like none other. Where would you go in the United States and go into 14 classrooms in one day and preach the gospel? Nowhere. They would lock you out before you got in. Opportunity, opportunity. That's all I could say. That was our journey to the ferry. And I'm sure I'm going to let some of you young people share a little bit on this. But that was our journey. Was that 3/4 of a mile or half a mile where we lugged them, chucked them suitcases? I finally had to pulling mine off to somebody. Dustin, he's not here tonight, is he? He finally decided to take mine. But we were so ready to get on that boat. Anyways, that's my last picture. I'm going to let off there. I'm going to let somebody else share on that picture. One of the young brothers are going to share. I want to speak a little bit on Emar, just a little bit. Emar is doing well. But the last thing Emar told me when I left, he says, pray for me. And he said it with tears in his eyes. Emar has a huge burden. And he wants it to go the right way. So he's very thankful that we were there. And he showed it very much. So if you think about it, pray for Brother Emar. Emar is doing quite well, but he's still burdened down. of some of the things that he would like to see different in the church. And rightly so. But it's going to take some time, brothers. They live a different culture than we do. And to get it exactly the way we have it is probably not quite possible. But I believe it can get where God will be happy with it. I believe that. But it's going to take some effort, it's going to take some praying, it's going to take some fasting, it's going to take some diligence of doing our part to help them along. So I'm going to let the rest of them share now, and may God bless you and thank you for praying for us. We felt those prayers. Thank you very much. May God bless you.
There's so many things I could share about, but one highlight for me was meeting the church people, seeing their strong faith and zeal for the Lord, and just their heart and their life just really blessed me. Pray for them that they remain faithful and grow in their walk with the Lord.
There's much that could be shared from the last 3 weeks in the Philippines, but just a few highlights for me were the prison ministry and being able to spend quite a few hours with the men just preaching and singing. It was such an incredible opportunity, and I think every day we went and just like touched my heart to see them, and just being able to share with them was such a blessing. Also, we made many interesting connections throughout the 3 weeks, and the first one was the first night in Chicago. We met a lady that was headed to the same island for a visit to her family, and that ended up just being down the road from the house that we stayed at. And through that, she invited us over for a meal, and we were able to sing and pray for her paralyzed friend after, like, a couple days later. She wondered if we prayed for people, and so we got to go to share with him that one day. There are many more things to say, as 21 days can't be described in 2 minutes, but a verse that blessed me one of the first days we were there was 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And may we all remember to view our everyday life as a mission field and reach out to all the sad and hurting people right around us and showing them the one true way.
I also had a wonderful time in the Philippines, and it was worth everything it took to get there and back. It was definitely a journey and maybe a little bit of a traumatic ending, but now it's all great memories. Yeah, there's so much I could say, but probably one of my highlights was just spending time with all the school students and various people we met and being able to share the love of Jesus with them. We enjoyed our time spent singing, reading stories to the children, and playing games. One afternoon, we girls sat down beside two girls and started talking to them. They said they were Catholic, but when we asked them if they ever think about what will happen to them when they die, they really didn't know. We told them what it means to be born again, encouraged them to find a Bible and seek the Lord. But that really touched my heart. There are so many people in the world like that, and if no one tells them about Jesus, what will happen to them? We are so blessed to have been brought up in Christian homes, and we have so much. I feel like I came home with a new perspective on life and a greater burden for lost souls in this world, and especially for the people on Bantayan Island. But it was also very encouraging to see so many open doors over there and how God has been working in the hearts of the people on the island. The church people were also an inspiration to me, and I would like to encourage you all to pray for them.
So the one day we went to two different villages, and we just spent some time there singing and sharing and passing out candy to the children. Those villages were very poor. The huts were made from bamboo, and they didn't offer much protection from the wind and rain. The one village we went to was a fishing village, and before we left, we walked out to where some of them were working. They had a small basket that contained 3 days' worth of fishing, and it was not much. We can learn a lot from them. They don't have much, and they work very hard for what they do have. I believe we should all pray for them, that what was shared those few weeks we were over there, that none of them will forget, and that it'll have lasting effects on their lives.
Well, like many others shared, there's many, many highlights that I could share here as well on the whole journey. I really deeply enjoyed all of it. But one that kind of spoke to me, one that stuck to me the most, I guess, probably was how James shared there, the high school that we visited, where we was allowed to go into each classroom. And in each classroom, we sang two songs, and one of us younger brothers, we all took turns, but one of us would share in each classroom just either a short testimony or maybe just a brief message. And it really inspired me. Just the thought of that we are, that it was only by the grace of God and the work in our lives, in each one of our lives, that he has done, that we was able to just go there freely and just preach the word of God to him. That's simply what it was. It was just the word of God. And another thing that really blessed me was all the, like, it seemed like all the students, they was deeply interested in what we had to say, what we had to share. And it was just the longing on in their faces and in their eyes. It just, like, blessed me, like, wow. You know, like, they seriously want to know more about the word of God. So that was that was one highlight that really encouraged me just to be more open-minded and more willing to just go out and spread the word. It don't have to be Philippines either. It can be just around here just as well as it can be there. But that's one of my experiences that I had, and God bless you all.
Yeah, so I had a really good 3 weeks in the Philippines too. I was up here trying to decide how in the world I can fit 3 weeks of stuff in 2 minutes, but I think I can just share a little highlight. One of the highlights was something, not something we did, it's something I sensed, I think, and that is how open the Filipinos are. They're like one of the most open country you've ever went to. Like, they're probably, most of them never heard the gospel, and they'll literally sit and listen to you all the way through, and they won't interrupt, and they're like very polite and wide open. Like we said, the schools, you can go in schools, you can pass out literature, and it's wide open. And another thing is, we had a couple police guys go with us to the schools for the drug thing. We were, that's how we got into schools, is through a drug program, anti-drug abuse. And there's police officers going with us, so they heard the gospel every day. And we ended up having one of the police officers over for supper. And I think God is doing a work in the police officers' lives as well. We gave them Bibles, and yeah. But, yeah, we had a good time. We got to know each other better, and we got to know everybody that was with us. And, yeah, definitely an encouraging time.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I had a really enjoyable 3 weeks over in the Philippines as well. One thing that really stands out to me was that first picture that James had up here of the schools. We passed out Bibles that day, and we realized we didn't have enough Bibles for the whole school. And so James just said, we'll do grades 9, 10, and 11, because there was a couple hundred students there, and we only had a little over 100 Bibles. And so there was a line of students stood up. There was every bit of 100 plus. And we started passing out Bibles. And we kept passing out Bibles, and all of a sudden we were getting down to the end, and it looked like we wasn't going to have enough Bibles. So there was some people saw it, and so they started praying that we would have enough Bibles. And the last student got the last Bible that we had that day. And that was just an encouraging moment for me that I knew God was with us. There was no doubt in my mind. And whenever we faced challenges after that, I had to think back that if God can give us the right amount of Bibles we need for students, why, he'll help us through whatever problem we have. So that's a highlight for me, and God bless.
Yeah, so I was going to share a little on this picture. I know her name is Ruth, but I was trying to think of his name. Is it Wolfgang? His name is Wolfgang. We've known him for a little while now. And so we went to visit them one afternoon, and we've been there before to visit. And I don't know, it's been a few years since we visited them, but I'm not sure how open he was to the gospel previously. But we went to visit them again this year, and we went to their place and went up to where they were at, and he actually had a stroke, and so he's in a wheelchair. This all happened since the last time we've seen him, and so he's in a wheelchair, and I'm not sure if he's able to talk or not, but it didn't seem like it. He couldn't even talk very well. So we were singing songs and sharing with him. But the one song we sang was Home. And I'm not sure where it was at in the song, but we were singing this song, and he burst into tears, and he started weeping. And Yeah, it spoke to all of us. And after the song, we were able to share with him. And I'm not sure where he's at, but I know that he was deeply impacted by that song. And we forget, or sometimes I forget, the power of singing. And so that was one of my highlights. And even in the jail, singing in the jail, it's a blessing. It seems like we go there and we preach and we sing. And you wonder how much they're getting or if they're understanding. But the one afternoon, or one morning, I think it was, we had Bible study with them. And that was another one of my highlights. And they had many questions. And the questions they were asking, you just knew that they were getting what we were preaching. And so it was a blessing to have Bible study with them. And that's what I have.
Good evening, everyone. It was a good several weeks we spent out there in the Philippines. I think this was our heart as we went. In Romans 10, verse 14, it says, "How then should they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So I believe that's what all of our hearts were as we went out there to take the good tidings, the good news to those in the Philippines. We had a good couple weeks. There was a couple of them saying toward the end of the couple weeks that we need to stay another week. And then when it started looking like we might be there another week, they weren't quite so happy about that. But the last couple of days were kind of long because we didn't know when we were going to get off. But it was good for us to learn some patience, I think. So my burden coming back this time is mainly with the church there. So James talked about that a little bit. That started with Emar in the prison. And when he came out of the prison in 2019, he started meeting with a group of young people. And he had about, I think, 12 to 15 maybe that were really serious that he discipled for a period of time. And then from that, the church grew. And the church kind of started when we were stranded here with COVID. We couldn't get over there. But I believe that there was a lot of lives changed. In the area where Marlon put a building up for the church, that area around there was changed with the church going in there, just with the changed lives. Marlon was telling me today there was some of the parents there didn't know what to do with their boys, so they sent them over to Emar, you know, hoping that Emar could do something. And I think that change came to a lot of the boys like that. One story Emar said was when he was meeting with the young people, he had a girl that wanted to come, but her mom didn't really want her to come, but she allowed her to. But the mom didn't trust, she didn't know what was going on there, so she followed her daughter and hid out behind a tree close to where Emar was sharing. And the end of the story is the mom is now going to Emar's church too. So I believe the reason that his church is growing is because they are preaching the truth there, and they have needs there. But when we was there, we spent some time with them, and I just feel like they are kind of interact like a family, kind of like we do here on a Sunday afternoon. They're fellowshipping together, and it's a real blessing. And I talked to some of them, and they seem to have a real desire to grow. We talked to Emar and Connie the one night about needs there, what his heart or his vision was for the church. And a lot of the struggle that he talked about was not so much spiritual. They had a little bit of that, but it was just simply the financial aspect. He said that a lot of the people there make 300, 350 pesos a day, which is about $6. That's the construction workers, I think, and the lower paid. And if they get sick, they're off work, they don't get paid. If they have any savings, that goes to get their medicine, and then they have no food. And then if they're in Emar's church, they call him because he's their pastor. And he'll sometimes take some of his food and split it and share it. And then I don't think that he has quite enough. And so a lot of their problems are finance related. And because of that, a lot of the young people that Emar had discipled left the island to get better paying jobs. Because the island is kind of, there's not much of an economy. There's not much export out of that island. So if you want to get a good job, there's a few there, but not enough for everyone. So they go to the big cities. And then they're separate from the church. And we also know a church can't grow without young families. It can't sustain itself in old people and young children. And so my burden is, if we would get involved there more, if we could help them out financially a little bit, I think we could make a difference there. We have Jen down there. She's a single mom. She's one of the girls that wears a head covering. And her bike broke down, for example. Now, she don't have enough money to fix the bike. And Emar says it's not worth fixing the bike because it's a piece of junk. It's just going to break down again. So we could buy her new bike for $500 or $800, whatever they cost, a decent used bike. But I feel like in the long term, it would be a lot better if, as a church, we could provide jobs, businesses, things where they can bring in their own income. Income good enough that they could make in the other big islands and big cities where they could be home with the church, the young people, because I think that they have a lot of potential as a church down there. They have a lot of needs. I want to say that, but I believe that their potential far outweighs the need that they have, and I feel like they're going in a good direction. Because sometimes if you just go down to pour money into people like that, it can have negative effects, so we don't want that, and so we were very careful with that. But I know I'm talking a lot about the financial aspects, but I believe that they have need there. Emar said about 30,000 pesos a month can support a family of four pretty comfortably. That's just a little over $500. That's what their school teachers make about that, but the Philippines really place a high priority on education. So if you go, you have to go all the way through college, and then you get out of college, they have an exam, and if you pass the exam, then you can get the good high-paying jobs, and if you don't pass the exam, then you're just a little bit lower. You can still get a decent job, but not what the other ones can. And so a lot of the young people, they're going to these colleges, and they're going to different islands, the colleges, and I think it has a direct impact on the church that is not going to be good in the long term. So I just have a burden. I was over there, and, you know, for some of you, you haven't been there, so you hear these names, and it's not real, is real to you, but they're real people over there, and they have a real desire to serve the Lord. They're a different culture, different everything, but yet, you know, the Lord is calling them too, and he has a standard for them to live according to his word, and our heart would be that they could live more and more according to this word of God. But I feel like for that to happen, we're going to have to be involved as a church, and we're going to have boots in the ground there maybe year-round instead of just a couple weeks out of the year. We see growth down there, but we see need as well. There are now two girls in the church wearing head covering, and a third one said she's going to start. That's some of the growth we see. They took their musical instruments out of the church now. That's another thing. One more need down there is for a fellowship meal for them every Sunday. I think right now some brother is supporting that every other week. But it takes about $250 to get them a good meal. And for a lot of them, it's the best meal they probably eat all week. And I think for ourselves, we would say it's very healthy to have a fellowship meal after church. That's when you get to interact with your brothers and sisters. And I feel like it's the same thing over there. So I just, all of us that were down there, we have a real heart for them. They are very sweet people. We went to a lot of schools, poor islands, and they gave us the best that they had to eat. And the one place, they fed us before we had our program, they fed us after. We went to another school down the road, and they fed us another meal. In about 3 hours, we had three meals. And they're very open to the gospel. We preached some hard things down there, and they take it, and we went to some poor villages. We sang songs for them. We wanted to go pass rice out in one village, but we left before we had a chance. But they're open. They sit out there and they listen. And it's a Catholic nation, mainly Catholic. And it's a lot similar to the Amish, where if you come out of that, you'll face some persecution possibly, and your family will reject you. So they have that aspect, but we see God doing a work, especially with the church there. And I would encourage those of you that aren't involved to get involved. And if we as a church do this, I think that we could have a little outreach church here in the Philippines. I know it's halfway around the world and it's a long ways, but there are some hungry people over there. And so, yeah, that's my burden. I don't know if James is going to come up yet or not, but that's all I have. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, won't take a whole lot more time, but just as Jesse was saying, to go over there, it's a long ways over there, so it's good to go over there and stay there a while. Stay there for a few months. The 3 weeks and come back is hard on the body. But just not sure what to share. That couple there, Justin was sharing, he was hard against the gospel. He always fed us a meal. They invited us over, and they gave us a meal every time we went. But we share with him, and he said, "I'm good. I'm okay." He didn't need God. He's from Germany. But this time it was different. And he had a son that came because they thought he was dying. And he was all tattooed up. He looked terrible outwardly, but he also had tears when he was singing. And I started talking to him, and through the course of the conversation, he said he was saying some things, so I said, "You found Jesus?" He said, "No, he found me." He just shared about his home life, that his dad, Wolfgang, and his mom, I don't know what happened to her. We're not certain where the marriage is at, but he seemed to have found something in the Lord and some sort of peace, but their home life wasn't good, so he took off and went on his own. And he got into drugs and a lot of problems. He never got married, and he's just a wonder in the world. And it seems like he found the Lord. He had a real nice, peaceful spirit. But and just for some other facts on that island, they talked about the needs and the poorness, that they have plenty of food, but not always money to get it. And on that island, I was looking up some facts about it. It's 9.9 miles from one end to the other. It's not very long, and it's narrower the other way. It's 42 square miles, and it's got 145,436 people. That was a 2015 census on that small island. So you can imagine how that, what that would be like in trying to provide. There's not many jobs. We're trying to figure out how to find jobs, and Marlon does good at getting things started, but next time you go, he got to start over. So that's a need to be there to help them continue in the work that they do get. They have pig farms. They raise pigs at a decent size, and chickens. They have a lot of chicken farms. They call it the egg basket of the world. There's a lot of eggs, chickens, and they have another main source of income there is a big beer plant, and that thing probably needs to go down. But there's a lot of alcoholism. The dads are out fishing, and they drink their money away and don't give it to the family. That's a need there to share the gospel with those husbands, that they can take care of the families. And the women and children suffer, and they go their own way and lose their way. So it's that to go into schools and share with those children is a blessing. They sit and they listen, and you can tell them pretty much anything you want to tell them, and they'll listen to you. What to do with it, we don't know, but we tell them some hard things. We talk a lot about, in the age that they're at, the moral lives and the relationship with the girls and boys, and they all shake their head and they agree with it, but I don't think it's reality in their life. And in that island, there's three main municipalities: Bentayne, Montedios, and Santa Fe. And in Santa Fe, it's a huge, starting to become a very big tourist attraction in the last few years. They are now building a multiple story building. It's, I don't know for sure how many stories it is yet. They keep saying different things, but up to 12 stories, and it's going to be a hotel and casino, and you can imagine what that'll do, what that'll bring in. It'll bring in a lot of chaos, it'll bring in jobs, but I don't think it'll benefit the people on the island in the long run. And so that's the things that's going on there. And the agriculture, they raise bananas, sugar cane, coconuts, corn, and mangoes. And they do fishing, a lot of fishing. They take the fish and they dry the fish out. You go out in these islands, it has a terrible smell. You walk up to the, get out of the boat and walk up to the island, and they have their fish laying out. It's all drying, and then they take it and they eat that, and that's what they eat. That's their meals. And so that's a big source of income for the people if they don't drink it away. And most of the time, that's what they do. And entertainment, you see them, basketball is big, and they have cockfighting. They take their roosters and they put them in this, like a little building, and they bet on their roosters fighting. And it's another area that's not good for the Filipinos in their spiritual lives. So there was some needs there, and just helping those people find their way. And a little bit on the journey home, there, on one of the classrooms, we took turns, me and James and Jesse, and the youth were in there singing, and they would take turns sharing. When they got done singing, one of us would go in that classroom and share a few minutes. In one of the classrooms, I was sharing about Noah and the ark and how it never rained before, and I told them in like story form that one day it started raining, and Noah was telling the people to get in the ark, and only 8 people got in, and I related it to him as, we're here telling you that you need to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. How many of you will get in that ark and follow Jesus Christ? As I was sharing that, and a couple days later, it rained all day. And I thought, like, wonder what they're thinking about this ark. You never know what that'll bring, but I thought of it. It rained all day that day. I never seen it rain like that every time we've been there. But it rained, and the people there, just like Haiti, they have houses, but the roofs are not waterproof in dirt floors. And I'm sure a lot of low-lying areas that had water inside their houses. And there was a brother there in the church that is living with someone. He went through a lot of struggles since he's been out of prison. But he seems to be on a better way, and he likes singing music. Thinking we need Merv to go there and teach him on singing. And he's learning on his own. He don't have nobody teaching. But he don't have a home. He only makes 300 pesos a day, and that's $5 or $6, as I think Jesse shared. And that's not, he said, there's not enough to save to buy a home, so he's living with someone, and he has a family. And things like that, there's somehow we can try to help them. I don't always like to just give them everything, but to teach them how to work. A lot of them work for the government, and the government doesn't pay that much. That's where he works. He's a traffic director, and that's what they pay him. So, yeah, that, and as I was sitting there waiting on that ferry, there is only one way off that island. You get there by a ferry, and when you leave with the ferry. They have an airport, but it's only there 2 days, and that's just beginning to progress. But at this time, most of the people get on and off the island with a boat, and I'm thinking we're sitting there. We can't get out unless we swim 12 miles to the next island and get on a vehicle and go to the airport. And I thought of sitting there that, you know, there's one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way you can get there except through repentance and turning your heart toward him and living for him. And that's what we went there to preach to them, that it's Jesus Christ. And we come out clearly and plainly and tell them that it's not through Mary or Peter or any of those, but it's through Jesus Christ, because that is their main, that's their main religion. They're Catholic, and they seem to take it and understand, or somewhat understand what we're trying to tell them. Whether they live it out or not will yet to be seen. But so it's a blessing to go there and to share and come home and think about what we have. You know, we can do a lot more there with what we have. So may God bless you.